Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Good afternoon to you. It's fantastic to be with you once again. Hopefully the weekend went well. We got a sunny Monday. We got a big week of sports coming up. We got Sharks playoffs tonight. Warriors continue their playoffs tomorrow. A's will continue their season tomorrow. We've got the one remaining team in San Diego actually in town. Gianna's happy about that.
Sure.
Well, Padres and Giants tonight. Sure, why not? Welcome, welcome, welcome. A draft has happened. Apparently, we're all going to be served a little curry for dinner tomorrow night. I like that. Why not? Let's do that. Draymond Green, it's absolutely crazy. I do think the Warriors, there is an argument to be made that they could win the NBA title if Steph Curry did not come back. Like, let's say Curry didn't play another playoff game. Could they go through Houston, get through New Orleans, go through Houston, and then beat who is ever waiting for them in the NBA Finals? Without Curry, there's an argument to be made that they could do it. Without Draymond Green, I don't know if you could make the same argument. Draymond Green last night, on Saturday, was just outstanding. I mean, everything you want from that guy. All the stuff that sort of doesn't matter during a regular season, and you devalue his place on the team, and it's just not what you wanted, and you got things like, Chris Webber's talking about, you know, if a team had to rely on him to be a number one scoring option, he probably wouldn't be starting. Oh, my God. I mean, it's, what is it? Is it the equivalent of Picasso painting? Of Mozart composing? I mean, it's watching a true craftsman ply his trade in a way that only the world class among us can ply our trades. It's really, really something else. Draymond was magnificent. And so was Oracle Arena. You know, I was there on Saturday night. I got to be honest with you. I didn't spend the entire game watching the Golden State Warriors. Me, Roxy Bernstein, Chris Townsend, and Tim Jordan, our engineer, were huddled around a MacBook Pro watching overtime hockey at an NBA playoff game. We were watching the Sharks game. We thought for sure it ended with them losing, coming back 0-2. No. Goaltender's interference. What do you know? Sharks go on to even up the series for Game 3 tonight. That's all they needed to do. They got blown out of Game 1. They win Game 2 by the narrowest of margins. Everything is even, Steven. And this is a little bit of a cautionary tale for the Golden State Warriors, who so thoroughly ran past the New Orleans Pelicans, and I'm almost a little bit disappointed in the Pelicans. Like, I didn't drive over to Oakland for a blowout. I wanted an NBA playoff game. The Warriors were so in charge, I was comfortable watching playoff hockey. Because they decided to have their third quarter run in the second quarter.
Yeah.
They were ahead of schedule against New Orleans. They were fantastic. Game one was a waltz. I mean, that was pretty easy. Couple of things that you need to see in person to be believed. Okay, Anthony Davis is one of those people. Like, Anthony Davis is just as big as Kevin Durant, and he's twice as thick as the guy. He is, like, what I don't understand, and this is why there's nothing, not that I'm sitting courtside, media doesn't even come close to courtside, but there is nothing like sitting close or courtside to an NBA game, because what's really truly amazing is, you know, you can sit down low at a baseball game, But a guy playing in the baseball game, heck, Pablo Sandoval, who actually pitched in a baseball game over this weekend, pretty well,
yeah,
pretty surprisingly. But you can have a guy who looks like he would be two cubicles down from you in the insurance hall, and that guy could be a major leaguer. The fact that Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, and I also fit in the category of human is amazing. Like, how are we from the same species? How is that a human and I am also a human? It's amazing the size, the athleticism, the speed, the power at which they play. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing, as was Oracle. I kept on saying, this is the loudest I've heard it all year. I haven't heard Oracle like this. Oracle hasn't given me chills since the last playoffs. And I went to plenty of games this year, and it's not, you know, I'm not making this up. And when I say Oracle is back, and I got people who, you know, are tweeting me from their home, I understand everyone wants to interact on Twitter, but like, when I'm at the game telling you it's as loud in here as it can get, and you're watching at home, don't tell me how wrong I am.
Especially if you're not there, that makes sense.
Stop telling me the book I'm reading isn't what I'm reading when you haven't even read it yet. You know, it drives me nuts. But everybody's got to be an expert on everything. So when it comes to Oracle Arena, you think Steve Kerr would be pretty much an expert on how that building feels? He's all about a feeling. Well, here's what Steve Kerr had to say after game one against New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, it was that was probably the loudest I've heard Oracle all year. You know, it's a kind of a weird regular season, but the playoffs are here, and our guys feel that, our fans feel that, and that second quarter reflected, you know, what's at stake and what we're trying to accomplish. So, crowd was into it. Our bench was great. That's what makes it fun when you see that.
It was awesome in there. Like I said, the Warriors decided to use their third quarter run in the second quarter. That game was over early. We, me, Chris Townsend, Roxy Bernstein, our engineer Tim Jordan, huddled around a computer, hoping, praying.
Done scoring.
He's not going tonight. Lower body injury. It's an ominous sign when there's no.
Done scoring.
But hopefully the Sharks can take a little bit of the advantage that they now have being on home ice. Should be fun tonight. So Sharks tonight, Warriors tomorrow. We got plenty of baseball to talk about. Most of it's ugly. Even as the A's find ways to lose with errors, even as the Giants find ways to win with a minimum amount of runs being scored, it is really ugly baseball that is leading Major League Baseball into this season. We've got prolific strikeout rates. We've got balls being hit in play at a smaller percentage than have ever been seen before. Luckily, there is one man still fighting for the heart of Major League Baseball. His name's Jed Lowry. Jed Lowry is the hottest athlete in the Bay Area. I don't care what. I don't care who played. Maybe it's Draymond. Let's be totally honest. Maybe it's Draymond. Maybe it's Couture. Maybe it's Brent Burns. Noah Lowry. Another guy. Another guy. Sorry. Jed Lowry! Can't stop. Won't stop. Just, I think, set a record for hits in a month, April. Jed Lowry's on fire. By the way, you know who else has got to be on fire by definition? Any NBA cheerleader dancing in front of Beyonce.
No doubt.
That's got to be the equivalent of playing in front of Michael Jordan. The one other thing from that Warrior game in the Saturday night that I forgot to tell you about that I said I got to mention this in the opening. So I'm not one to bend the knee to star power. I do not get starstruck. I'm not like, oh. I'll tell you, Jay-Z and Beyonce bring an awful lot of star power with them when they walk into a building, man. All eyes on them. Every step they take, every glance she gives. I can't help but evaluate the dude who's just happened to be sitting next to Beyonce that isn't Jay-Z. Like, how do you handle that moment? Do you play it cool? Do you actually go as far as to say, you know, hi, I'm Damon. What's your name?
Well, yeah, you should say, I mean, if you're sitting next to her, you say hi. Sure.
No, but I'm saying, do you pretend you have no idea who he and she is? Do you just sit there and be like, hi, Damon Bruce, what's your name?
No, you know who she is.
No, what do you just play it off? Just totally play it off, treat her like any other Jane.
I wouldn't be able to.
Look at it this way. She probably wouldn't forget you anytime soon.
It's true.
I tell you, she's a stunning woman. A stunning, stunning, beautiful woman. It takes a pop star of that magnitude to make it just like, Jay-Z's here too. No big deal. Seriously.
No biggie.
He might as well be the bag man for the president. Seriously. He just runs around carrying Jay-Z. More than a rapper, he's basically the guy that carries Beyonce's purse now. He's Mr. Beyonce. She's not Mrs. Jay-Z.
She's stunning.
It's statuesque in its presentation and its awe. It really is. We've got so much to get into. We got a full 4-hour show today, and if there was ever a day we needed one of those, it's today. Tim Roy's going to join me. Mike Silver's going to join me. We'll have 5 before 5. We're going to take it to the tweets later on today. I don't think we've ever taken it to the tweets on a Monday. This is uncharted territory. I wouldn't be surprised if Beyonce and Jay-Z were sitting courtside for that segment a little bit later on. Alex Pavlovich at 6 o'clock and plenty of you along the way. 888-957-9570. It's great to be here. Welcome to the Damon Bruce Show.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It's great to have you here. We're about to take a couple calls at 888-957-9570. Obviously, Warriors opened up with a big statement win against the New Orleans Pelicans. Any fear you might have had about that series seemed to be alleviated. I mean, think about it. If you're the Pelicans and you couldn't come in and even keep it close without Steph Curry, how are you supposed to win the series now that it looks like Steph Curry is going to be back starting tomorrow night? Like, the Pelicans should pretty much just forfeit the rest of the way based on how bad they were. They won't be that bad again in game two, but I just don't see how they're going to keep it close when the Warriors get Steph Curry back, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Obviously, they're trying to pick the right and perfect time for Steph Curry to come back, the perfect time where no one will have to worry about his health ever again. No one will have to worry about knees or ankles or winning or losing. It's just the perfect time to bring him back. You don't have to worry about it. And just everything worked out nice and smooth. Finding the right timing is life. Life is timing. Think about it. Life really is timing. Think of your life, what has happened, the moments, and how timing has always played a key role in the major moments in your life. I got to tell you, Donald Penn and his wife need to work on their timing just a little bit. Now, I'm not trying to cavalierly dismiss any accusation of domestic violence, but when a couple puts out a joint statement, you got to figure they're doing that to sort of diffuse the bomb that their actions set off. Not even 3 days after seeing his team draft his future replacement, the Penn family is just out there making great choices. I mean, optics, people. Optics. Think about it. Donald Penn and his wife Dominique issued a joint statement today saying that the alleged domestic violent incident reported by about the two is being blown out of proportion. Apparently, cops were called after she got her booty slapped. And I'm not saying that that can't be a disrespectful act. I got to be careful in 2018. But I will tell you right now that reading recent police reports about how women have been treated by NFL players, this police report is like reading a children's novel. Basically, it's a slap on the rear end, Gianna, and looks like somebody caught it in the face with a glass of water, which technically is assault. But if you ever can be assaulted by a fist or a glass of water, choose the glass of water. Trust me on that. You're going to want the water.
Yeah.
There was a verbal disagreement, quote, there was no physical altercation. The two are in the middle of a divorce, and it's a hard time for both parties. Look, the only thing I can tell you is that this police report is the biggest, you know, the two of you should just go to neutral corners and separate already. Like, try, if you're trying to have the, we're going through a divorce, yet we're still cohabitating, Donald Penn should be booking his hotel room tonight.
Yeah, probably not good to stay in the same area or just be in the same vicinity as your ex during a divorce.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go my way. Why don't you go your way and let our lawyers pretty much sort this one out. I know I'm paying mine a pretty penny per hour, and I'm guessing you are too. So, you know, let's just be smart about this. How do we make sure that at this very important moment for our divorce, we both don't accelerate how broke I am? Like, can you see the merits in that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the merits of employment buoying your alimony? Like we're all on the same page here? Good God. Timing is life. Get some. 888-957-9570. I got Josh calling from Oakland. He wants to talk about the Warriors and Steve Kerr. How are you, Josh?
Hey, DB, thanks for taking my call, man. You know, that's been my biggest takeaway of the playoffs so far has been Steve Kerr. The moves that he's been able to make in both the first round and the second round has thrown speed bumps in the game plan of the opposing team. And because of the playoffs, each of those moments I feel are pronounced, and each game means so much, and it affects the series. And for me, that's what's been so reassuring about the Warriors this whole time. Like, a lot of people like to say the edge is because of the talent, and that's true. But for me, it's always been the experience, the intelligence, and the coaching. Like, I just watched OKC lose to Utah. OKC is way more talented than Utah, but it's not about that. It's about the coaching. It's about your intelligence, and it's about your experience. And it's about having two MVPs.
Yeah, thank you very much. Look, it's about culture and having your players buy into said culture. I watched Carmelo Anthony do a press conference where he said how he basically went out of his way to not buy into a culture because it was never really explained to him how this was supposed to all fit together. So he didn't. How about this? This is a very interesting story that I read about Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony showed up for a game an hour before he was supposed to be there. He was wrong about the start time, but wrong to the point where he was there an hour early, not an hour late. And I'm going to tell you, the choice between being an hour early to a game or an hour late to a game is no choice at all. You choose an hour early if you're a professional athlete. What did Carmelo Anthony do with the hour that he got there early? Did he just shrug his shoulders, say, "Dem's the breaks, I'm going to take advantage of this moment, get in a little running, a little shooting, a little defense"? No, he went home and then came back because God forbid his time be wasted for a precious hour to think about getting along better with his teammates. I mean, Russell Westbrook is a handful. Look, Russell Westbrook is the reason why Kevin Durant is here. Russell Westbrook is the reason why Carmelo Anthony now needs to go to the bench, why Paul George is going to be off. Russell Westbrook is the reason why the Oklahoma City Thunder supposedly built a, and I'm using air quotes, super team, yet went out in the same round and won only one more game than they won last year. Utah has an entire team of guys buying into a team concept. There is no team concept for Russell Westbrook and the fighting Westbrooks. I will say this. I saw some fans getting really chippy with Russell Westbrook. I will defend Russell Westbrook having said this.
I don't confront fans. Fans confront me. Here in Utah, man, a lot of disrespectful, vulgar things are said to the players here with these fans, man. It's truly disrespectful. Talk about your families, your kids, and it's just a disrespect to the game, man. I think it's something that needs to be brought up. And I'm tired of just going out and playing and letting fans say what the hell they want to say. I'm not with that, because if I was on the street, they wouldn't just come up to me and say anything crazy, because I don't play that. So I just think it's disrespectful when they get the chance to do whatever they want to do. It needs to be put to a stop, especially here in Utah.
I won't even address the especially here in Utah aspect of that, but every other aspect of it is dead on. The amount of things that people will say when they think they're separated between that magical barrier of I'm the fan, you're the player. Like there's an imaginary out-of-bounds line that, you know, means I can say whatever I want to you with zero fear of repercussion. And people hide behind that the same way they hide behind keyboards on the internet. And all sorts of things are said under the guise of, you know, if we were walking down the street together, you'd never say that to me.
No way. Family and kids should just be off limits. Say what you want to them about their play, about the game, but you don't talk about their kids or their family. You don't go there.
you know, even the overload in the whole "you suck" department, like you would never walk up to somebody, point in their face, and scream "you suck," unless you knew you had a security guard to hide behind.
It would never happen.
So I don't mind him being chippy about that, but I also saw the last 5 minutes of that game, Russ, and you were extraordinarily selfish and bad in your execution. And that pretty much permeates the entire Oklahoma City season, and that is why great players will continue to abandon you. It's got nothing to do with Oklahoma City. It's got to do with having to play with Russell Westbrook. He is a tough teammate to have. There's a part of me that looks at him and he drives me nuts. There's a part of me that also looks at Russell Westbrook and says, there's a guy who kills himself trying to win every single moment he's playing. There's a part of him that I really respect. There's another part of him where enough is enough. Tomorrow night, we're going to have an awful lot of fun. Cavs are in Toronto for game one. LeBron wins another game seven. He does it buoyed by his own epic performance and also a little help from the officials. I don't think the Pacers were allowed to grab a rebound in the fourth quarter without it being a loose ball foul. Cavs are in Toronto tomorrow night for game one. The Warriors will be hosting the Pelicans in game two. And Tim Roy will have that call, of course, here on 95.7 The Game. Tim Roy brought to us by Mancini's Sleep World, simply the best night's sleep. And Tim, I'm guessing everyone slept well on Saturday night because that was a Warrior performance we've been waiting for. Offensively executing throughout the entire game, defensively clamping down. They pretty much broke the spirit of the series, I think, in game one for New Orleans. That was decisive.
It was decisive, and they just controlled the game throughout that second quarter, set the whole tone for everything, and they were really good. You know, that's the best performance they've had in a couple of months, and it came at the perfect time. You know, we saw in the first series that they had raised their level of defense, and then the second part of this equation was how are they going to match up now with this team that's red hot. You know, they had probably the most dominating first-round series of anybody in the association, and they just came in and just throttled them in the second quarter, took them right out of what they wanted to do, and it was impressive. And you know, now they hopefully get Steph Curry back for game two, and now it's, you know, time to keep trying to improve upon that so that they can be at a championship level.
You know, I look at Curry coming back in game two. If he's ready to go, fine. The player plays is a statement that I keep falling back on. When you got a great player, the player plays. Unless the player's unable to play, the player plays. And I do believe that. I also see a team that probably doesn't need to bring back Steph Curry to win game two at home. And it feels like suggesting overly cautious approaches with players like wins the day on the internet. Like people would rather a cautious decision be made than devil may care, play the player. I want to see Steph, but I don't think we need to see Steph in game two.
No, they don't need to. I think one of the things that they've been really good at, though, is not playing guys until they're ready. So if Steph is ready, then I think that you go ahead and play him, because then the more time he gets on the floor, you know, could help you later on. So I don't think they're rushing him back at all. I think if we had seen him play on in the game one, then maybe they were rushing him a little bit. But I don't think they're doing that. I think they're taking their time, and I think they're making the right decision. If he's not ready to go tomorrow night, they won't play him. And no matter what Steph says to Steve, he won't play him. And so I think if you see Steph out there, it's because there's no reason not to have him out there.
Tim Roy joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Again, the Warriors rout the Pelicans in game one. The tempo was different. We saw them start without a center or Draymond playing the center. And it's amazing the luxury of talent that the Warriors has in its starting five. Even with Steph being injured, it almost allows them to hide lesser effective players in their own starting five. We saw it with Zaza throughout the year. We've seen it now with Nick Young. You are good if you can hide somebody in your starting five, and the Warriors can do that.
Well, when you have four All-Stars to begin, that changes the whole, you know, equation. You know, so I think, you know, having that luxury, you know, allows them to do that. And so I think, you know, what you see with the Warriors right now is that they can match up. And, you know, that matchup with Nick Young kind of changed, you know, New Orleans a little bit too. Even though the Pelicans had a good first quarter, it changed the matchups for them. And I think it took away one of the defensive strengths that the Pelicans were able to do against Portland, because they weren't able to do that against the Warriors because they couldn't sag off a Nick Young like they could maybe an Al-Farouq Aminu, because you have to honor Nick Young's ability to knock down that shot. So, you know, I think it kind of made New Orleans play a little bit more honestly and, you know, mano a mano, and I think that took them a little bit out of their comfort zone. They had played four straight games, kind of mixing up their defense a little bit, and that really took Portland to task. And so I think that move, albeit, you know, you could say that, you know, they're bringing somebody off the bench who's really not, you know, a heavy minutes guy to start because they have that luxury, but it also was strategic as well. And I think it was a good move by Steve and the coaching staff. It worked out really well, and I think it just kind of put a little doubt in the minds of New Orleans as to what exactly they were going to be able to do defensively against Golden State.
Defensively, Draymond Green, as good as he's been in a really long time, when he is on the warpath, I mean, look, I think the Warriors can win playoff series, this one, the next one, maybe even the final series, regardless of who the opponent is, without Steph Curry. That's how good they are. I don't know if you could say the same thing if you remove Draymond Green from the equation. He is this team's defensive heartbeat, and that heart was beaten in game one.
You know, Klay Thompson after the game was asked about Draymond. He says, yeah, he's going to yell at you a couple times, but it's all about, you know, firing people up and playing defense and getting people to the right, you know, responsibilities. And Draymond does that. And I, for the life of me, if anyone doesn't see the value in how special a player he is and how good he is and how smart he is, then to me, I don't think they understand how the game, you know, should be played, because Draymond is so smart and is so good. You can't even say that he's just a product of the era. No, he's not. Draymond could play in any era. I believe that about any great player. But I think Draymond is special because he understands the game so much and he has such a competitive fire. And, you know, you want to be physical? He can be physical. You want him to make plays with the ball? He can make plays with the ball. You know, you want him to switch and guard a guy that maybe he shouldn't be able to guard? You know, we see it all the time. You know, you see a guard will get a switch, and he looks up, and there's Draymond. And his first instinct is, oh, well, he's a big. I'm going to take him off the dribble. And then all of a sudden he realizes, oh, it's Draymond. I can't take him off the dribble. And then so he has to either move the ball, get his shot blocked, or turn the ball over. And so it's an amazing thing. And he's a special player, and you have to really cherish watching him play, because he can dominate a game and not score 10 points. That's how good he is.
He's amazing. He really is. And I'll tell you what, the NBA gives us views of body types that are absolutely amazing. Like, Tim, it's amazing that you and I are humans, and that's the exact same species that Anthony Davis is. Like, he is also a human, like just like us. How's that even possible?
I'm still checking as to whether or not he's human. I'm still checking. I have my suspicions. You know,
he's taller than he's taller than Durant, and he's twice as thick as the guy. He's ridiculous.
He's long, and he's graceful. He's graceful. He's athletic. He can do whatever he wants to do. And here's the scary thing. He can get better. He's still not at his prime yet. He's gonna get better, and that's the scary thing. I mean, he's already, you know, one of the best players in the game, but he can get better. He's just now moving into maybe, you know, the beginning of his prime years, and you know, his shot's getting better year in and year out, and you know, you can tell when you get better players around him, like when they added Mirotić, a complimentary player to the way Davis likes to play. Then all of a sudden, the Pelicans are a much better team than what they were before.
The voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy, here on the Damon Bruce Show. Game 2 is tomorrow night at Oracle. Game 3, Friday, when the series shifts to New Orleans. How about LeBron in a game seven? Not too shabby, right? 45 yesterday. Indiana might have been the better team, but he, like, almost all by himself and a little help from that officiating crew who just loved fouls on rebounds. Look, I mean, what can you do other than just genuflect in LeBron's direction? There's no argument to be made that anyone was much better than him. He's incredible.
He's incredible, and he comes to play at the right time. And in game seven he was special. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I think the best game seven player of all time is Bill Russell. I don't think there's any question about that. If you look at the numbers and everything else, I mean, he was phenomenal in those games for Boston. And how many of those do they lose? None. But LeBron is special. Again, he, like Draymond, he's a special guy. You have to give him his due, and he certainly came through right when his team needed him to come through. But I have to tell you, I have a sneaky admiration for that Pacers squad. They have resolve. How many times in that series were you looking at the score going, okay, they're down 15 here, Cleveland's going to blow them out, and, pick about any one of the seven games, and every time they came back. Every time they made a run, that's a group that you can tell they have good chemistry there, and they're going to get better as well too, because that's not a veteran, older, experienced squad. That's a group of young, talented players, and they're going to get better. And one other thing, I heard you talking about Russell Westbrook coming in. And these are just facts. This is not an opinion. But last year, they say he didn't have any help, right? So they won 47, and they were out in the first round. So they bring in Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, and this year they won 48, and they're out in the first round.
It's amazing.
It's got to be really frustrating if you're a Thunder fan.
And there are people who are saying, well, when you're not shooting well, that's what happens. They actually shot better in the playoffs this year than last year. So, there's no argument to be made that that was built properly or set up to work out. That it was... It's total abandonment of team concept. And when you run into a team like Utah, who's bought into a team concept, Houston, obviously the Warriors, no individual or collection of talent is better than the team that's playing together. If five guys is one, Oracle Rising is one, if I can borrow one of your phrases. No amount of individual talent can beat a locked in team. And the Thunder learned that again the tough way.
It's really funny when you think about teams that share the ball, and the teams that pass the ball. They tend to be teams that make life easier on themselves. And when you're touching the ball, everybody's kind of happy. Everybody kind of gets into the flow of the game, and nobody's worried about, okay, he took a shot, that's fine. I know the ball's going to come back my way at some point. And so it just makes the game a lot more fun. And that was the one thing about game one, was it was great to see the Warriors play with that joy again. We hadn't seen that in a while. And it was great to see that joy that makes Oracle a special place. By the way, there are tickets available for game two at Warriors.com. So make sure you check that out.
Click and roll, if you don't mind me saying. Thank you so much, Tim. Great to talk to you, buddy.
Stuff. Hey, by the way, also, too, if I want to get somebody on the floor to get me 10 points in 5 minutes, Jordan Crawford's my guy.
Oh, come on. he is the ageless wonder, isn't he?
It's amazing. He had like six shots up in the first 3 minutes on the floor, and he was knocking down shots too. I'm happy for him though, because he played overseas, he played in the G League, he did everything that he could to get back to the NBA, and I'm happy that he had that return trip.
Might want to start that guy. Pelicans are in a little trouble early here. Tim, thank you so much, buddy.
See ya.
Great to talk to you. Tim Roy, voice of the Warriors. And I want to remind you that today at 5 o'clock, 95.7 The Game playoff flyaway presented by Alaska Airlines is back. We're sending one person and a guest to watch Golden State play Game 4 in New Orleans. We're going to be doing that at 5 o'clock this afternoon, so you're going to want to be paying attention here on 95.7 The Game. We'll go ahead and give out the phone number at that time. We're going to take more calls. After this, 888-957-9570, to Curry or not to Curry? It looks like yes, but I got to be honest, this is a question I'm sick of, and I'll explain why next.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
All right, lots of stuff to get to here as we approach our 4 o'clock hour. We start with the news that we just got over Twitter. Bad news, if you're a Dodgers fan, Corey Seager is going to undergo Tommy John surgery. He is done for the entire year. If you're scoring along at home, you know that Corey Seager is not normally the position that you would associate with Tommy John surgery. He's a shortstop. This is very odd, certainly. Yeah, bad. You don't hear a lot of non-pitchers getting Tommy John. Corey Seager, now is your turn. This guy's a two-time All-Star. He's just 24 years old. He was the National League Rookie of the Year 2 years ago. Bellinger won it last year. So huge blow to Doyer chances early on. There's been some ugly baseball being played, and it's about to get a little uglier down for Los Angeles. Got a guy here who is making his maiden voyage very, very well on the text line. He says, Damon on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. First-time texter. So Donald Penn, he sort of took a page right out of the Raiders playbook, didn't he? Getting a divorce, but still sticking around for another 2 years.
Wow.
Nico in Concord.
It's good.
Oh, touche, Nico. Touche. Welcome to the game. You are very good at it.
Certainly can play along.
Absolutely. We look forward to more of your contributions, Nico and Campbell. If you're coming out of the gate like that. Yeah, really. Look, all I can tell you is that the Pens' timing is horrifically bad, and hopefully everything is cleared up. And cooler heads all prevail. So I want to talk a little bit about Curry or not to Curry. It is the question I am so sick and tired of hearing and talking about. I mean, Steve Kerr today at Shoot Around.
Feeling good today. Went through the whole practice, so I'd be very surprised if he didn't play. But we got to, just for caution, we should, we'll wait until tomorrow to see how he's feeling.
Okay, so they'll be testing for caution. Oh, well, you should always apply caution. If you're going to be testing for caution, caution's probably going to do well on the test. So Steve Kerr says that it's very, very likely he'd be surprised if he didn't play tomorrow. The last time Steve Kerr made a prediction, well, it came true.
With the number one overall pick, Steve Kerr selects
Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma University. I've got inside info. I mean, just write it, etch it in stone, Damon, etch it in stone.
Wow. I know you're good friends with Mike Silver. This feels like you might know something because Mike is good friends with Hugh Jackson. Am I playing connect the dots in a way that's making you uncomfortable, sir?
No, now you're stretching. I'm just I'm making stuff up and guessing and throwing a curveball, hoping that I'm right so that next week when we can do the show, you can say you were right.
By the way, Mike Silver today at 4:30, and I think I connected the dots in a way. That went from I've got a dead set certain lock for you, Damon, to I'm just spitballing real fast. Yeah, just spitballing over here, having a little fun. It was a dead set lock 30 seconds ago, Coach.
Yep.
We got Mike Silver today at 4:30. So, look, Steve Kerr predictions have come true on this show. He is now predicting that everyone will be surprised if we don't see Curry tomorrow, and all I can say is good. Okay, I'm so sick and tired of talking about this guy's minutes, whether he should or shouldn't play. In the history of sports, has there ever been more attention paid to how much this generational talent should actually play? It's amazing. It's amazing. We've been so pre-programmed by Moneyball and trying to sound smart on social media that no one ever thinks like a fan anymore. You got to think like a general manager of a team if you want to be taken seriously in the world of sports these days. It's crazy. Fans, feel free to be fans. Feel free to want to watch your favorite players play in games that you're buying food tickets to go watch, knowing that you're going to go out of your way to watch on TV. Steph Curry's minutes have been measured like grams by a drug dealer for the last 4 seasons. Like, this guy just had a 6-week layoff. Even if he played all 48 minutes tomorrow, his knee's not going to explode. He's not going to die. His family's not going to lose a father, a husband, a leader, a breadwinner. Steph Curry came back against the New Orleans Pelicans. He played 32 minutes and was never seen again. Just vanished. Even if he played the entire game tomorrow, the next game's not till Friday. It's not till Friday. He's got plenty of time to rest as much as he needs. Look at it this way. Between now and Friday, you could amputate both of Steph Curry's legs, surgically attach new ones, and he could play by Friday. If the guy's ready to go, frickin' play him. Oh, but you know, they don't probably need him to beat the... it doesn't matter. Get him out there. Oh, you know, you got to get him out there for rhythm. Rhythm, schmithem. Even if he had to miss a game, it doesn't matter. He'll be ready to go the minute you need him. The second you... Oh, should they start him? Should they play him off the bench? Who cares? It's not like bringing him in the sixth minute would definitely eliminate the chance of injury. But if you started him, there's a greater chance. Stop! Well, you got to make sure that he's going to be in there in the fourth quarter. Do you? Do you really? Because most of the time Steph Curry starts the game, we don't see him in a fourth quarter because he's not needed. The last time this entire team, well, the core four were together, it was March 6th. It was basically 2 months ago. Play him.
Now's the time.
Frickin' play him. Play him in the basketball game. The one that's next. Is he hurt anymore? Yes or no? If the answer is yes, don't play him.
Don't overthink it, basically.
If the answer is no, play him! It's just that simple. I'm listening to people debate, well, where should they play him? How should they play him? How about this? How about you play him, but you forbid him to shoot? Just really screw with the Pelicans. They'll never know what hit him. How about you play him, but you don't give him a jersey? Just make him run around in skins. That'll really throw the Pelicans off the game. Just think how hyped the crowd would be to announce, ladies and gentlemen, now checking in, number 30, a shirtless Steph Curry.
It would be kind of crazy. I think everyone's going to go nuts tomorrow just when he makes his first three, just having him back in action. It'll be fun.
That's, yeah. Like, he's
like a fan should be.
And everyone's like, oh, well, he needs to get back in rhythm. No, he doesn't. I remember, what did he miss, 11 games? And he came back against Memphis and he hit 10 threes. I think he had 10 threes the first 10 shots of the game. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but it's almost that easy whenever he's back out there. Oh, my God. Got fans debating Steph Curry like they're his parents, like they're his children. He's a grown man. He's built to play basketball. He's conditioned it his entire life. He's trained for this. As soon as his body says, I'm ready to go, green light, send him. But don't you think that they could beat the Pelicans without that? Yes, we just saw that. But you know what? Play him. God. You know? I mean, don't wait so long for perfect that you let really good pass you by. Let's go to Orlando in Mill Valley. How you doing, Orlando? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, awesome. So I just wanted to say that I'm really happy for game one, the Pelicans against the Warriors, because prior to that, everyone was doubting the Warriors. Oh, it's, you know, it's going to be a hard matchup and whatnot. And then they came out and played. They beat them. Not only did they beat them, it was a blowout. It was cool to see. So I'm not trying to get too ahead, but I'm sure that, you know, we pretty much got this series. So thinking ahead, and again, I don't know if I should, but now, you know, we're looking ahead and we know that, you know, Houston might come out if Utah doesn't defeat them. So just wondering, like, what you think about that. Do you think, are you concerned?
Well, yeah, look, I can tell you that Houston is more cause for concern than any other team in the NBA. The Warriors have used the playoffs so far to basically take every single concern we brought up during the regular season and just say, don't worry about it. You don't need to be worried about that anymore. You really don't need to be worried about that anymore. Don't need to be worried about that anymore. Intensity, defense, levels of interest, all gone by the wayside. We are locked in. We are playing. All of the regular season anxiety that we thought might carry into the playoffs has vanished. And you're telling me that after a decisive blowout win over a playoff team that came in feeling itself? Like the Pelicans came in feeling itself and probably looked at game one thinking, all right, man, we got this tonight. We can absolutely get this. Curry's not playing. It's going to be our best chance to win here. And they got blown out the damn gym. Game two, Steph Curry's out there. You're going to have more confidence to win that game? I don't think so. But this isn't over. Like, the Pelicans are going to play better in Game 2 than they played in Game 1. I don't care if Steph Curry starts or doesn't start or comes off the bench. I expect a better New Orleans team. I expect an even better effort in Game 3. Anthony Davis, I'm going to still say this even after watching Game 1's decisive blowout. Anthony Davis is such a unique, celestial talent. Maybe he gets a game all by his freaking self. Worst case scenario, this is Warriors in five. Double worst case scenario. It'd be Warriors in six, but no threat of losing the series. You're never truly threatened to go home. Like, the Warriors got this. They look like themselves again. Oracle feels like itself again. And I don't think we need to be as worried as we were in the regular season. That goes for you. That goes for me. That goes for all of us. It goes for the entire media covering this team. We had what we thought were legitimate concerns. The Warriors stepped in the playoffs and were like, your concerns are not that legitimate.
Everything changed.
Yeah, quickly. Andy in Novato. You're on 95.7 The Game, Andy.
How you guys doing? Hey, you talk about Steph in that Memphis game. So, I took three friends of mine, we're all in our 60s. I don't think they'd been to a game in a while. And that was his first game back. Everyone was a little worried. Damon, you said he went 10 for 10. He didn't hit the rim. He didn't hit the rim. He was unbelievable. I mean, those guys haven't stopped talking about that game in about 4 months. He was unbelievable.
Right.
He made every shot. He hit threes. Now, but don't hang up on me yet. Damon, you grew up in New York State, but you went to Indiana, so you're like a Chicago, Indiana fan. Well, how come you're not a New York fan? You know, where did you grow up in New York State?
I grew up in upstate New York in Schenectady. And the reason why is because early in my life, I liked arguing sports. And if I weren't, I was the one guy arguing sports with all of my friends all the time. And really what it was I would come home. And we were like the first family on the block that had cable television, and Cubs games were on WGN, and I would just come home, and the Cubs would be in about the fifth inning every single day, and I would watch baseball. And that was it. Like, that's what did it. So I was a Cub fan around all my friends. My friends were Mets fans, Yankee fans, Red Sox fans, Philly fans. Gave us reasons to argue. It was great. It was a great childhood.
And look at what it led to.
And look at...
Here you are.
Look at the mess I've become. It's great to be here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.